Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Hey, welcome to it. Big night in Lodo. With the Astros in town, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Hell yeah!
So enjoy that tonight. Sandy Clough will be on the air after The Drive Reloaded to talk all about it, I think. I believe so. Actually, I got that wrong, right? We got something else going on tonight. And, anyways. Well, Tyler Anderson against Gerrit Cole. We are closer and closer to the trade deadline in Major League Baseball. What's that going to mean for the Rockies? I don't know. I don't think much of anything, but you never know. ESPN has put out their top-tier quarterback status. Only four quarterbacks are in the Tier 1 stratosphere.
What is that?
And they've got Case Keenum in Tier 3. But that's about right. And they only got four dudes in Tier 1.
Who are those dudes?
Roethlisberger, Brady, Rodgers, Ryan. Hard to argue that.
So where do they have Matthew Stafford then?
I don't know. Not Tier 1?
I think the opinion of Matthew Stafford is low, but...
They only got four dudes in Tier 1. So.
Yeah, I think Matthew Stafford belongs in Tier 1.
I think Case Keenum in Tier 3 is just about right. I think he, right now, going into the season, is about the 20th best NFL quarterback. And I think you can make hay with the 20th best NFL quarterback. You're fine. It's hard to get one of those top five guys, Al. It's not easy to do. Usually you have to make some sort of investment, some sort of chance. Usually you have to draft them, and then you got to get lucky. And that certainly is the case with Ryan, Roethlisberger, Brady, and Rodgers.
Well, it sounds like they've picked guys who have had postseason success.
That makes sense.
Not long ago, Joe Flacco was in that conversation.
Maybe. Things change. So, we are just a few days away from training camp. We have the Rockies in a big game with the Astros, a series with them. We got a lot of cool stuff going on. Weather looks like it's going to be a little bit more, you know, temperate. I don't know. Pretty good time. Pretty good. And Drake canceled for Sunday night. Does that mean Migos will be there, though?
No, Migos will not. Take off!
Oh, I don't know Migos songs. You want to drop some Migos on me?
No, I do not.
I mean, I was barely hanging in there with Drake, but you can drop some Migos on me anytime you want.
Did they postpone the entire tour or just the Denver portion? Is the Denver portion the first one?
No, just the Sunday show. There were two shows here in Denver. The Saturday show is still going on. The Sunday show is now postponed.
Well, it's no way it's because of ticket sales. I'm sure that thing was sold out on Sunday night as well.
Well, it says that it's now... Wait a minute. So the Saturday show is good.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Saturday's good.
Hey. Is this Migos? We're gonna miss this. Oh my god.
Hey. Look at Kyle Berry back there. Did you buy your Drake ticket as soon as it came out?
Look at that. Stokely.
Stokely in there getting it.
Does
in.
Stokely like the Migos? Is he a Migos guy?
Hey, man.
Did he have some Migos playing when he went into the Louisiana Hall of Fame?
Was that his walk-up music? Hey, man, I saw Stokely 1 year when he was just retired. I think it was the in-between before Peyton got here. Him and his lovely wife were in Denver going to the Pepsi Center. and they were going to a country western.
Now that sounds like
right.
Stokely.
I forget what concert it was because I was going too.
Nice.
I was like, what are you doing here? I didn't know that he had made home here. A lot of guys make home here after they play for the Broncos.
I know. You guys are annoying. I mean, it's great to have everybody around.
Let me ask you this.
All you guys are here still all looking for a job. Everybody's looking for your job, Alfred. Everybody's looking for your gig.
If I ask you one question about training camp, about what you perceive to be the most important part about training camp, what would you say the most important part about training camp is?
The offensive line.
No. I said, what about it? Is it making sure that your offensive line, every year, is it always
the identity and the cohesion of the offensive line?
Every year.
It's been the big
problem. So you say basically training camp is about the offensive line.
It is, I think, yeah.
You know what I think training camp is about?
What's
offense
that?
Period.
Okay.
Because defensively, you know, you're always reacting to what happens to the, you know, from what the offense gives
because
you.
Because I don't have questions about Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders running routes. I really don't have concerns about Case Keenum. If Paxton Lynch was the starter, he would be just the shining big question mark. But he's not. So it's much different than last year. So the problem that the Broncos have had offensively is the identity slash cohesion of their offensive line. It's been quite a mystery few years.
But I think in most NFL cities that don't have one of those tier one quarterbacks, you know, I think most of the time the question marks are always around how do we score points?
Yeah, but it's like the quarterbacks and receivers, it's like a 7-on-7 sort of game, okay? The one thing you really don't know is how are those five guys going to, maybe six if you include a tight end, how are they going to blend together and how are they going to work together? They're the big question mark.
It's basically offense. I'm telling you that every year that I go into training camp, like if I was a head coach, every year would be about how do we put up more points and be more efficient on offense?
Yeah, okay, I feel that.
Because if your offense is operating at a high level, then your defense gets a good look every week.
Yeah, I think the defense takes about 2 weeks, and they're probably fine.
But just imagine.
I don't know if the offense ever really gets going.
But look at this. Look at this, what happened with the Denver Broncos. When the Denver Broncos offense with Peyton Manning was really good, their defense was great because you see all the possibilities of route combinations. You see all the possibility of changing of, you know, tight end is now playing out wide. You know, your running back is in the slot playing. You know, when you have a top-notch offense, it makes your defense adjust to what they're doing every day in practice. Like, I don't want my defense to beat my offense up every day. I want my offense to create new problems for the defense every single practice.
The problem is with training camp essentially is, first of all, it's too long. And maybe it's not that it's too long, but the games are, you don't need four games.
Nonsensical.
It doesn't make any sense. And they don't make sense because the coaches in the NFL are telling you they don't make sense because by the way they treat them.
Right. Let me ask you this. Okay, if I said that training camp is all about the offense and getting the offense up to speed, like I think every year that training camp is essentially getting the offense up to speed.
I wouldn't argue with you on that.
Okay, who doesn't have to play if you were looking at this Denver Broncos offensive team and defensive team, or call it members of the special teams, who should never play in preseason this year?
Oh.
The team on this team.
Who doesn't need preseason games?
Who shouldn't play in one preseason game? Who's number one? Who's number one?
Von Miller.
Von Miller, right?
Yeah. Then I'd go Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. They don't need to play. Chris Harris, he doesn't need to play.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Marshall, he doesn't need to play.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Wolfe, he doesn't need to play. I think all of the offensive linemen need to play. I think they have to
play.
Do
you think Bradley Roby needs to play?
Yeah, he needs to play. Yeah.
Even though he's a big money guy, he's your guy, and he gets great work in every game.
Case Keenum needs to play.
Every day he gets great work against.
Yeah, he needs to play, though. Case Keenum does need to play.
K- Case Keenum needs to play?
Yeah, because it's quarterback, man. You just got to get your reps. There's no such thing as bad passing reps for a quarterback, and he's got to get used to things. He needs to play.
So that means your entire starting offensive line needs to play.
Yeah, yeah. They all need to play.
But your top receivers
Pecco,
don't play.
Pecco doesn't need to play.
I need you to back up.
Yeah.
You're saying your starting offensive line and your quarterback need to play.
Yeah.
Your running backs all need to play.
I disagree.
Which one doesn't?
I don't think any of them do.
Huh?
Well, I mean, play whoever you need to play a game, but...
We need to find out which one is the best.
Oh, we already know that.
Is it Royce Freeman?
Of course.
But he's got to get NFL playoff reps.
Playoff reps or
NFL regular season reps?
How many
reps?
Times do you need to get hit?
He needs to get reps. Booker needs to get reps.
How many?
I don't know.
We went through this. Like the running backs, went through it. The entire preseason, you get the equivalent in four games for the starters of maybe one game or 60 offensive plays. Maybe. We've done this before.
But
if you want to say they need like one full game, I mean, okay, I guess. I'm rolling my eyes. But you
also have said that Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders don't need to play in preseason games, but you need to see your starting offensive line and your quarterback. Well, who is the quarterback throwing to?
Yeah, Cortland Sutton,
but not
Jordan
to DT
Taylor.
And
they're not. He's not going to throw more than 6 to 10 passes to those guys in preseason, no matter what. So you tell me. Well, he's going to throw to them every single day in practice. You're just talking about meaningless preseason games. I bet you Emmanuel Sanders won't have more than 10 targets, period, in the entire preseason. So if you're only going to have 10 targets,
I don't need to see Emmanuel Sanders.
Well, I don't need to see either of them.
I really don't need to see Demaryius Thomas.
They're going to throw to him every day in practice. That's fine.
But you're also saying you need to see the starting offensive line. Like, I need to see the starting offensive line.
Because that's a rhythm between those guys.
Right. Like, we're working together in the
Sanders
same...
Sanders knows the routes. I mean, he's fine. You need the rhythm of those guys in live action. And you can simulate live action with cornerbacks and safeties, with wide receivers, without contact. You can get pretty close to it. I don't think you can simulate the real contact of that offense versus defense. By the way, you do have a joint practice with the Chicago Bears.
Right.
So, again, these games are dumb. I would advocate for two joint practices.
But you need to see Case Keenum in a normal preseason role.
Like, did we need to see the Senior Bowl?
The actual Senior Bowl?
No.
No, we need to see the practices.
Right. This is no different.
We wouldn't have Deshaun Hamilton otherwise.
We got it all done in the practices. The practices were what we needed. You have live practice every single day. You bring in another team, the Chicago Bears, to practice with. You could bring in another team and have another practice.
Right.
You just don't need these games. They're just dumb. So when you ask me, who do we need to see in the games? I mean, in all honesty, hardly anybody.
I would tell you I need to see the offensive line.
Okay.
Just because it's such a,
then that's about
one
it, then.
Heartbeat type of
the only other thing that's,
unit on the team that you need to see them working together to work through problems.
The only other thing you get then is just potential injuries. And I don't know why we need to see that.
I don't need that. That's why I'm saying the guys that are in the higher pay areas, they've earned that right to get that kind of money. So why would you, do you think that you're going to see Todd Gurley from the Rams who just signed
a
4-year extension?
Of course not.
In preseason games?
Why would you?
Well, then why would you play Emmanuel Sanders or Demaryius Thomas in those moments? Or
I wouldn't. I just said I wouldn't.
Well, why would you play Bradley Roby in those moments?
Fine. Don't play him either.
Right. I think Chris Harris and those guys in the upper echelon of salaries,
who cares?
They don't want that money to be wasted in a preseason game.
There's some things that happen in sports that are not right. And first of all, training camp shouldn't even start until mid-August.
Well, it is going to start. But I think the way that you handle it
is... I mean, we're
all
excited for it to start in 4 days, but mid-August would be more appropriate. Two preseason games, 1 week where you practice with another team, 17 games, 2 bye weeks, Super Bowl on President's Day, and I love the concept of the position players, except for the kicker, snapper, and punter all have 17 games to play 16, meaning you've got to figure out some other mandatory rest. That's why players won't be exposed to more than 16 games a year, but everybody gets 17 games.
Mm. What if they just made it a strict play count? Like, you only get to play this many plays during the regular season.
That'd be hard to keep track of. But I think if you had a 16-game maximum, except for the specialist, meaning your quarterback would have to sit for one game if he's healthy.
Mm.
All right, well, that's a little strategy there, right? But if you looked at the rest, I'd love
to make it 20-game season. If you really want to, you want to stretch it out, make it a 20-game season.
What's your maximum amount of games? Like 16?
Yeah.
So you'd have to do that'd be interesting.
Don't make it 17. Make it 20.
Why 20?
Because
when are we playing the Super Bowl in April?
You could play it on the same weekend. I mean, you don't need preseason games, basically, is what I'm saying.
Oh, so start the regular season in August?
That's right. So start it when you, instead of playing that first preseason game, just go ahead and play games.
Sign me up.
If you need one preseason game, fine.
That'd be tricky, though. Four games.
One preseason game, and then a bye week, and then you play in the regular season.
Boy, you could. I'd be fine with it. 20 games? I mean, the fans would love it. And you'd only be allowed to play in 16 of those 20 games?
You can only play in 16.
It's compelling. You'd have to expand the rosters to...
whatever, 85.
Okay, like a college team.
Yeah.
It'd be fun. It'd be more football.
Look at you.
You know, I mean...
well, you know, in college football right now, there's a possibility to play 12 regular season games... okay, and if you are in a college football playoff series, then you add another 3 games? So that's 15 games already in college. You got, plus your championship week, that's 13 weeks. So you have 13 weeks, you have the initial game, and then you have, so 13, 14, yeah, 15 weeks.
Really quick, guys, we're eliminating one thought here that is going to play a key component this coming season. The NFL has included 7 rookie officials this year with a handful of different rules changes.
The referees are going to screw up no matter what. And we're going to have 5 controversial calls next year that's going to be on primetime television where we said they screwed that up. That was a catch.
Because these are brand new rules that these referees are going to be
calling. The old guys who just retired screwed them up. You don't think Ed Hockley is sorry from what he did with the San Diego Chargers here playing against the Denver Broncos?
Well, but at this point,
but at this point, we're talking about leading with a helmet in order to judging whether or not
all
a player
of them are
going to
make problems. All of them will have problems and make mistakes.
But what I'm saying is these 7 rookie officials that the NFL has decided to include on their referee roster this year need those reps in the preseason as well, because the referees look just as bad as some of these players do coming in.
Send them over to training camp. NFL referees work in training camps every day.
The entire problem that the NFL has with these officials is they're not full-time employees.
Is that the Monday night matchup right there?
You can't just send them to something.
I'm looking at it. I just saw the Monday night.
Don't worry. They're never going to 20. Nobody's even brought up 20, but I'm not going to shoot Al down. But 17 has been talked about.
But do not forget that there are so many different rule changes coming 16, in this year. That
here's what
17 and 16 DMAC don't, you know, that's not enough. You need to at least go to 18 to make it okay.
17
is not good enough to do a 16 game season. You need to at least go to 18.
Okay. I'm just telling you what's been talked about and what hasn't. You know, Goodell desperately wants to get rid of these preseason games.
It's bad for season ticket holders because the teams make them commit to them.
The players don't want to play more than 16 games. Got it.
Right,
no problem.
The players don't want to get injured.
Okay, fine. The NFL wants 17, 18. They want more games. Okay. Fine. So the players would love to see the rosters expanded, and if we're going to play extra games, extra money. Fine. All those things can happen.
Yeah, the NFL.
Nothing really standing. The fans don't want crappy football on Thursday nights, and that happens when there's short time between Sunday and Thursday. So adding a second bye week is another no-brainer. This can all be relatively easily done. It's actually not even that big of a deal.
I mean, the NFL is as popular now as they've ever been. All these reports about how the NFL was down. You didn't hear NFL owners complain about revenue or none of those things.
No, it's all going up.
You know, while all of
this
stuff was going on.
The Broncos are worth $2.6 billion, according to Forbes.
What it did is it brought the NFL to the forefront because it was on everybody's mind. Whether you liked or disliked the protest last year, it made the worst thing that can happen for you, from what I've been told, is that people don't talk about you. The NFL has become the most popular game of all times. And the numbers indicate that the NFL is booming. And the reason that we know that is from the simple numbers that were added because the Green Bay Packers are a public entity.
The Green Bay Packers also reported that foot traffic in Lambeau Stadium and just the surrounding area and everything like that was down this last year as well.
Who cares? They don't make money on foot traffic and in the NFL in general. What they make money on is the TV numbers and the internet packages that are agreed to. Last year, total revenue for the NFL was up 4.9%. 4.9%. So for all that conversation about, the NFL and the ratings gone down, the ratings may have gone down, but the way that we consume football has increased because we now watch them. We watch games on demand. We record them. We go back and rewatch them. We watch them on NFL game day. And like you said, the players may not want to go to an expanded roster, but for the sake of making the right move, D-Mac, you got to get rid of these preseason games because they are ruining fan experiences before the start of the regular season. Make it two preseason games and then go with it, man.
Yo.
What you doing, man?
I know this one. He has the breakdown in here. My mama says I must love me.
Hey.
I don't want to say I'm crying in front of
me. Hey.
I'm giving you a taste of Drake because now both shows have been postponed.
Told you.
God's plan.
I didn't want to be the
wow,
the showstopper because they said that they're not going to start the tour until August.
What's going on?
I'm trying to get things right.
Was Denver going to be like the first show of the tour?
One of the first.
Wow. Have other shows been canceled or postponed before Denver?
There has been one show that has been officially canceled.
Well, don't turn off the music.
And that is Chicago. Sorry.
I mean, if I can't mumble along to Drake, what am I doing?
Toronto, St. Paul, Kansas City.
Toronto's been canceled?
Have all been rescheduled.
Oh, the 666!
Yeah, going to the 6 with my woes. You gotta cancel that. Hey, that's fun.
Let it breathe. And you know me.
Ah.
Turn the 02 into the 03.
Well. Is the Strawberry Man crying right now? Is he upset?
God's plan.
I don't think you understand how much I've been looking forward to that.
I think a lot of people have.
Wow, man.
You have that over-modulized back there, by the way.
Yeah, it's just getting...
killing people.
Do you know how hard it is to find a clean version of this song?
Yeah, thank you. That's
yes. Fine.
So when it's a little over-modulated, that is why
we'll
it is.
Take
because
it.
We had to find a clean version of it.
Okay, well, then, okay, no problem.
You don't have to worry about the Broncos going to the Drake concert Saturday night.
No. You don't have to worry about anybody going to the Drake concert Saturday night. It's the Drive on the Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 120-0716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Thank you to Pasta J's.
Of course. Thanks to Pasta J's.
Thanks to, you know, Pasta J's.
Back first.
I went to Pasta J's.
You know, just to recap that for everybody, because it's been a while. When, what's his head? What's his name? The coach.
Pound it, launch it, and bring the funk.
Come on. Hawkins. Oh, my God. When he got fired, first of all, CU did, we just fired you press conferences, which I've never really understood the logic of.
They allowed John Embry to address the media after being fired.
So did Dan Hawkins. And so Dan Hawkins steps up for the I just got fired press conference, and this is what he said.
First, thanks to, you know, Pasta J.
That was the first thing he said. On the I just got fired press conference.
First of all, I want to thank Pasta J.
Like, how much free pasta did you get?
First, thanks to, you know, Pasta J.
That is not made up by us. That is, I mean, there's a little edit there, but no, he literally did
say first
and thanks. Then thank Pasta J's. Why Pasta J's was first? I mean, what about first? I want to thank my wife. My son
Cody.
First,
I'd like to thank the university for
the university.
Opportunity.
But you thank a restaurant?
Well, first, anyway. Thanks to, you know, Pasta J. Oh,
so I want to say first, thanks to Pasta J. I ate that for lunch today.
Oh, that's cool. Are you still on the menu?
I am.
Alfredo Williams?
Yeah. Nice. But I walked around the campus today, man.
What are you doing up at CU?
Just every time I get a chance to go down there and show a kid the university, which I did today.
You're giving a tour?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Oh.
So, you know, family friend wanted to go see it, so I went down there.
Holds up well.
Boulder, man, is, you know, if you haven't been down there in a while, it's just changed so dramatically over the years. And the last, you know, 7 to 8 years, it's just made so many changes to the downtown area.
It's hard to
the
see
campus.
Like where the campus ends and the town begins.
Right.
It all just,
right.
It's, it just blends
in.
They built like a mall right there at the 30th and Arapahoe, whatever that is.
Flatirons Mall.
That's down the road. But I mean, literally just off the campus, it's a great place.
Yeah,
it's a great campus.
The outdoor shops right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was just walking around there, and I was just thinking how great it is. We have to have some time to talk to these college coaches. I still haven't been to a game at CSU, and that's
the new stadium.
Yeah, that's
gotta, on campus.
That's gotta be on my bucket list this year as a college football fan. I have to make that trip down there to CSU so I can check it out.
Okay.
And I have never been to
have fun.
I've never been to a Wyoming game.
It was interesting to be on that campus this
spring.
Have
you been to a game there?
No, but I went to Allen's Pro Day. So we
were you impressed?
No. No, sir. Impressed by what?
Air Force game.
I have been to an Air Force game. It's kind of a pain, to be honest with you.
Why? You have to go through security?
Yeah, it's one road. It's in the Springs. It's not that great.
All of your paperwork has to be together.
It's okay. It's just okay. I like Air Force, and I like their facilities. And I've seen a football game. I've seen a hockey game. I've seen baseball there.
What's your favorite then?
Is it Air Force?
Is it of the colleges?
Oh,
CU?
It's not even close. It's by far CU.
What they've done there.
We went to like 14 colleges in California on our trip. We visited 14.
Did you see UCLA?
Did not see UCLA, although I've heard great things. We were right there, but it's not in the ballpark. First of all, the nicest campus I've ever seen is Stanford, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I'm sorry, CU. You come in, but I'll tell you this. the town of Palo Alto is really small, and there's not much around Stanford.
Right.
And to get to San Francisco from Stanford is a humongous pain in the butt. And San Jose, I'm not a fan of the city of San Jose. So I will give you this. I think Boulder, while it's just not quite Stanford, it's closer to more interesting things. Like, if you want to do an internship or study something else at Stanford, it's a pain to do that. In Boulder, you're right down the street.
A lot of innovation, though, right on campus there at Stanford.
So aside from Stanford, though, CU is as nice as anything I saw. It's maybe nicer. That's why I was just so disappointed. I'm still remain disappointed that they don't have a baseball program and a softball program, and neither does CSU. It's embarrassing. They need to
really
figure that out.
But I think it's has something to do with
It's got nothing to do with nothing.
Right.
It's about
does Wyoming have a baseball team?
Of course,
Wyoming does.
I don't know. Actually, I don't know if they do or they don't. I don't know anything about. Maybe they do. I don't know.
Up at that campus,
that was not a great campus. At Laramie, not a great campus, dude.
Okay, Wyoming does not have
baseball.
The question is, does USC have a ski team?
No, they do not. They have not imported 9 Austrians to be on the USC ski team. We went over this with Chad. Like, 70% of the CU skiers are from, like, Austria or Europe. There's only, like, 3 Americans on the team.
Okay.
It's okay. Look, I'm watching the Olympics, and they're like, this guy skied last year for DU. He's like, 5th in the men's downhill. I'm like, how does that work? But that's a whole different topic. You know, a ski team is essentially, like, 20 people. Period.
Yeah.
Period.
Sure. So, I mean, does it matter where your track athletes come from?
Does it matter where they come from? What do you mean?
Yeah, because, I mean, all of those aren't domestic either.
No. It's college. You can come from anywhere.
Right.
It's fine.
That's right.
That's fine.
So, I'm just saying, it's not just ski. It's track and field.
It's just embarrassing that we're in the Pac-12.
Sometimes it's basketball.
But, dude, Washington State has a baseball team, and CU doesn't.
They don't have a ski team, do they? So, I'm just – I mean, every time you say baseball,
yeah.
I'm going to say ski team.
Okay, gotcha.
So find the schools that have a ski team and a baseball team.
Yeah, you think baseball was like low revenue generating. You should see how much revenue the ski team generates.
I bet you Utah has a baseball and ski team.
They do.
But does UCLA?
They do.
Have a ski team?
You know, I'm not positive about that. They've got everything, so it would not surprise me if they do. But
I bet you Stanford
I
has a ski team.
They could. They're not far from skiing. They're only 4 hours from, Nevada, from that Tahoe area. I saw a ski shop in the Palo Alto area. We were there a couple years ago for a baseball tournament. You could rent skis. And
I'm so proud of the University of Colorado and the changes that they have made to that campus. It's so modernized now that it just feels...
It's a great school.
It's a great school, man. Great school and still
and you know what?
Fantastic academics.
CSU is a great school, too. They're both great schools.
But Wyoming?
UNC has a baseball team.
Do they have a ski team?
No.
UNC doesn't?
No.
Nope. The Bears don't have a ski team.
D1 ski teams in the Rocky Mountain region, CU, Denver University,
yep.
Montana State, University of New Mexico, University of Utah, University of Wyoming.
There you go.
Wyoming has Nordic owners.
I'm not sure why you're so fixated on ski teams.
I'm just letting you know. I mean, I think there are like 25, 30 guys on the baseball team.
35.
Okay, 35. So we got like 30, 35 guys
we
on the ski team.
We don't have 35 guys on the
right
ski team.
What?
There's not that many Austrians
what?
Out
D1,
there.
D1 ski teams on the Eastern Eastern Intercollegiate Ski Association is Boston College, Dartmouth, Harvard, University of New Hampshire, and University of Vermont.
So when I say that CU won a national championship in skiing...
Yeah, they beat like 9 schools.
Is it like the old school Boston Celtics?
That's still right. It's still a big deal. It's still a big deal. It's hard to do.
So you won a national championship, which means that you beat 13 schools.
Alfred.
Don't forget University of Wisconsin, Green Bay.
To draw an equivalence between a ski program and baseball is
farcical.
Well,
I'm just saying, do they have a ski team? That's all I'm asking.
It's not. It's like, do they have a fencing team?
Big Sexy, does Notre Dame has a ski team? Does Notre Dame?
Just stop.
What? I'm asking.
You're
they may have baseball.
I'm seeing,
you're comparing skiing to baseball, college baseball.
Yeah, for people who live here, skiing is more important than baseball.
Oh, really? When was the last college ski event you went to?
Oh, my goodness. I used to roll those parties at the ski team.
All right, let's take a break. Pac-11 for baseball. But CU's a beautiful place. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. This is The Drive on The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch.
I got my buddy Dustin Schaefer from Loveland sending me info about the USC ski team.
What about them?
Yeah, it doesn't exist. It's just a bunch of kids that get together and carpool to the mountains on the weekend. Like, it's not the ski team. A lot of universities have clubs that they, like, everybody just, like, gets together and goes skiing on the weekend.
I mean, on USC, it says...
It
ain't intramurals, baby. It ain't intramurals.
Well, it is intramurals.
It ain't. I'm talking about when you call yourself a ski team.
There's like 299 Division I baseball programs and about 16 ski teams. But yet you want to compare skiing to baseball. I love
it. In Colorado, it's applicable because we have snow seasons.
On the RamosLaw.com text line, what does DMAC not like about Wyoming? Well, I don't have anything necessarily against Wyoming, and they treated us very nicely when we were up there. They've got a good indoor facility that the Broncos Fieldhouse was actually fashioned after. But the stadium is open-ended at both sides. It's small. The colors are horrible. And the town of Laramie itself is like a wasteland. But if my
colors are bad, in your opinion.
Well, I'm just telling you the way it is. I mean, we had a great time going up there. And Josh Allen did a great job at his pro day, but... I can't imagine one of my kids going to Wyoming.
Yeah, you dropped the ball on that one, by the way.
What's that?
Josh Allen could have been a Bronco had you pay for a dinner.
I know. I blew that one. That was such a great opportunity to pick up the bill there.
I'm so glad we didn't draft him.
Yeah, I know. I hope he becomes a superstar in Buffalo.
Me too. In Buffalo.
We blew it. We blew it on Josh Allen.
It's like John Ross. You're right, right? John Ross, the fastest guy in NFL combine history.
Yeah.
How'd that work out for the Cincinnati Bengals?
Not great. Not great so far.
I think he had a reverse
way
ran.
Guy's like 5'6".
Exactly.
But yeah, Josh Allen's 6'5", and throws the ball with more velocity than anybody.
Oh, he throws the ball hard. He's going to be a great quarterback in the NFL.
It was an impressive pro day.
I mean, it was an impressive pro day. Think about what you're saying. First of all, do you know for him to throw the ball as far as he can possibly throw the ball, okay?
Yeah.
It requires a 7-step drop, okay?
You don't need to throw the ball like that.
I'm just telling you. I'm just saying, but to see that kind of throw, you need to have the ball in a play-action situation in a 7-step drop protection.
It's clear who you're hating on this year.
I'm not hating on the Wyoming product. I'm just telling you that he didn't do enough to be the number, 7 pick in the NFL draft? Are you kidding me?
Dude, the word...
Josh sounds like a teenager's name, right?
Well, I'll tell you there.
Hey, Big Sexy Man, you hold on to everything, man.
By the way, drab is too colorful of a word to describe Wyoming. I mean, it's dude, have you been to the campus?
Oh, yeah. I used to play basketball up there in the summer when
you
I was a
did?
CU. Yeah.
Why?
I hated it!
Why would you ever travel to Laramie to play basketball?
I had this group of homeboys that we used to go and play intramural games.
Laramie?
Yeah, I just love basketball.
That's ridiculous. Why
we played all over the state and in Wyoming, and it was cool.
Dude, I'm having a hard time believing you went there one time more than...
No, I've been there like 3 times, 4 times to play basketball.
Did you like the campus of the University of Wyoming?
Yeah, it was cool.
Was it really?
But, I mean, you got to remember now, this was in the 80s. So, what you see at CU right now is not what it was. Like, I didn't get a chance to even play in Dahl Ward, the old facility. You know, what we played in, we had leaks in the ceiling in the weight room. They had to have buckets in the weight room to catch the water when it would rain.
What do I get against Wyoming? I mean, what, I mean their nothing. Facilities, it's not Colorado.
Our facilities were about in line with Wyoming's facilities back then.
Okay. No, I like, yeah, I'm good. I like Colorado better than Wyoming. By the way, Wyoming's got great skiing, though. It does.
Oh,
if you go up to, like, Jackson's Hole. Oh,
yeah.
That
legendary.
Sort of stuff.
Drop-in helicopter skiing.
They got all that stuff, yeah. Anyways, where are we even going? Rockies and Astros.
Tonight.
We got a few days away from training camp.
And tomorrow night with the Rockies and the Astros.
Yeah.
Two-game series.
We got a big staff meeting tonight, and apparently...
If they ask you about your job performance, what's your answer?
Oh, couldn't be better.
So, D-Mac, how do you think you've done in the last year?
Oh, well, I know we're the best. Meanwhile, apparently Stokely was crying because he had some sort of plans.
Oh, he was supposed to go to the Rockies game.
Yeah. So
I'll go in there and console him.
Yeah.
But until tomorrow at 3 o'clock. We're going to say goodbye and have a great night for D-Mac, Big Sexy, and, of course, Kyle Berry, the Strawberry Man. I'm Big Al. Have a great night, guys.
See ya.
Intramural.